Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
Knight Rider, a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man that does not exist.
Might as well put on some music.
I am the voice of Night Industry 2000's microprocessor.
You wish to eat, you wish to drink, you wish to reproduce.
Yeah.
Which one first?
Michael. Where are your pants?
Never mind.
I refuse to answer this on the sole basis that you and I are liars. And I don't want anyone else to think that we're liars, Craig.
Why? Why would they think that we're liars?
Because we say things, we break promises, we are terrible people.
Of course.
Nobody trusts us. People are actually still listening to the show, I hope.
I don't know. Sure.
Do you think people are still listening
to us? I absolutely think they are listening to us right now as we're recording this.
Oh, that's interesting how that happens, but that's okay.
You know, maybe not this particular episode, but another one that's happening concurrently at this point in time as of this recording.
That's
right
true.
Now,
do you think people are listening to all of our episodes at the same time?
You know what? There's actually a very good statistical chance that all of our episodes are being listened to concurrently right now.
If somebody's doing that right now, I want you to let us know at this exact moment.
I'm going to make it even more complicated. Not even one person, but like, how many do we have? 37, something like that.
This would be episode 30.
Okay,
it's our 30th episode of the Knight Rider years.
I propose that there are 30 different people out there listening to every episode at different points in the episode right now.
All right, I'll give it that. I agree with that.
With 7-some-odd billion people on the planet, I think there's a pretty good chance.
I'd say there's a high probability of that. Gentlemen, ladies, welcome to the Knight Rider Years. It's a podcast by two friends who share a love of classic 80s television. I am your host, Dave Champa.
I'm your other host, Greg Klein.
So Greg and I may have told a little white lie. I mean, just a little one. You know, like when we said we were going to go on an extended hiatus and we had no idea when we were going to bring the show back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we just said, all right, we'll see you later. And then that was it.
That was like 2.5 weeks ago.
Dave and I, we removed each other from our contacts list on our phone.
Yeah, it was ugly.
We decided to mail each other bags of worm feces.
I sent him horribly graphic photos of things that I cannot mention on this podcast.
And I took those photos and retched and sent that back to you.
You did.
I did.
You really, really did.
I'm sure this is exactly what everyone wants to hear.
And then I texted you 2 days after making the hiatus announcement saying, hiatuses are dumb. I don't want to do this.
Pretty much. But then we still had another like 20 days to go.
Right. So we decided that the best way for Greg and I to, I think it's going to be a win for everybody because you're always going to get new content every week.
God, I hate that word.
Content?
Yeah.
Well, what would you use?
I don't know. Okay. Oral extravagance.
Okay. You will always get new oral extravagances.
Oh, Christ.
But Greg and I are going to switch to biweekly. We're not going to go monthly. We're not going to do this. We're going to, for the time being, it is a temporary shift. Greg and I are going to go biweekly because Greg needs to finish school.
Yeah.
And I think at least for me, I think taking the stress off of having every week will be a little more helpful. But you're still going to get oral pleasures and extravagances.
Oral pleasures.
Oral pleasures.
Auditory hallucinations.
Because in the off weeks, for those of you who heard the test pilot a couple weeks ago, my 9-year-old daughter Lucy and I decided to record a podcast about 80s/90s television.
Yes.
Because I thought it would be really interesting from a current 2019 9-year-old as opposed to a 1980 or 1991 9-year-old. Ooh. I wanted to see what the reactions would be to a show that I grew up loving. So we did the episode on the first two episodes of Family Matters. Mm. That is not what I really wanted to do. And through some divine intervention, through the grace of God, I found for $19 the entire series of ALF.
There you go.
On DVD. So when Greg and I are not recording, Lucy and I will be releasing two episodes every 2 weeks of the original show, ALF, which was a show I grew up with in the 80s. I just think it'll be really fun to see what her reactions are going to be at 9.
And, you know,
to
I think
a show
it's
like
funny because I was starting to get to looking forward to watching that, but not, I wasn't like sold on it.
Right.
I'm really excited for this.
Are you going to listen?
I don't know. You know me in podcasts.
I know. You.
I don't even listen to any. I don't listen to anything.
I know you don't. That's okay.
I'm really excited though because I think this is a new chapter in Champ and Klein.
I do.
Think it's broadening our brand, as it were.
It will be. This will be a completely family friendly. There will be no explicit material. It will be me and my 9-year-old daughter talking about ALF.
Now you say that. But it's going to be interspersed with this crap.
I know. So every other week. So next week you'll get the pleasantries of Lucy and I talking about ALF. And then the following week, Greg and I are going to be talking about anal suppositories being shoved up Michael Knight's ass. So you're going to get the best of both worlds on this feed.
You know what might be a healthy thing to do, though?
What?
Somewhere along the line, perhaps for one or two episodes, we should switch.
That might be a blast.
I'll come in on ALF.
And Lucy and I could do a Knight Rider episode.
Maybe we can just mix it all up.
That might be amazing.
So for all of our listeners out there, you're going to hate it, and you're going to love it at the same time.
You were so confused by the Hoff chart, and I'm sure you still are. You're going to be even more confused when Greg and I start crossing over into all of our podcasts. I have 3 podcasts running, so we might even cross over into Call Me Cordelia.
We should just run everything concurrently, We should have, like, you should be here, Kristen, Lucy, myself, Eva could be off in the corner, and we should all be simultaneously talking about all 3 different shows.
And I'll be the go-through of all 3 because I'll have to talk about all 3 of them.
You'll have to try to force them all into the same universe.
Kristen will have to talk about Anne, Lucy will talk about ALF, Greg will do Knight Rider. I'll have to do all 3 and make it make sense for our listeners. I think that would be an amazing experiment, and it might be, I don't know, we might run that one for a little
while. So I'm just going to say, is Champ and Klein the Knight Rider years changing for
I don't know, probably. I mean, I still want to call it the Knight Rider years because ALF was technically running the same time. No, it wasn't actually, because ALF ran 86 to 90.
You missed it by 2 years,
and
right?
Knight Rider ran 81 to 85, I think.
Yeah, or maybe missed it by a year. Yeah.
So
man, this is going to get really confusing.
It'll get really confusing, but you'll also notice in the feed that I actually changed the formatting of how I name the episodes, so it'll be a little easier to find them once we start rolling out different shows throughout. But we'll see. Anyway, Greg, I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, me too.
So let's talk about for a few minutes, like how were your last 3 weeks? Because I know we haven't seen each other since the middle of April. We're recording on May 8th. It's been a couple weeks since we've seen each other. So how have your last couple weeks been? What have you been up to? Have you seen Endgame yet?
No.
Oh, Greg, cut the shit.
I did not go see it.
Will you go see Detective Pikachu? I'm going tomorrow night.
Okay, so here's me in movies. There's a lot of stuff I like to see.
I know.
I was slated to go see Endgame.
Yes, you were.
I had to work instead.
Oh, okay.
So that got thrown out.
Not an excuse.
No. But then I said, for you, Dave, I will go see it by myself the following day.
Right.
But then you're like, oh, well, I got to go to a conference, so we can't record anyway.
I was literally to like 2 days before, I'm like, yeah, Wednesday will be great. You go see this. And I wrote him back. I'm like, shit, I'm going to be in Minneapolis for 4.5 days. So no, we can't record this.
So then that was kind of like, I'm not going to go see it.
You have to go see it, man.
It's so funny because
it's so good.
So I watched bits of the one before it. Whatever.
Ant-Man and the Wasp?
No. I don't even know.
Infinity War?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
With the snap where everyone got dusted?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was, this is me.
That's, I you know what? And I understand that. So I understand. I get it. A lot of people have that reaction. So, I have been following this series since the original 2008. For 11 years, yeah. I've been watching this show. Like, this is like the culmination of everything that's... It was just, for me, it was the most perfect closure to that series.
That's
and
great.
I can't wait to see what they're going to bring out next. Although, Spider-Man comes out in July, and that's actually the official close of the Marvel's Phase 3.
Yeah, right.
And then Phase 4 kicks off next year.
Yeah, okay. So... For you, like, I am jealous that you get it that much, yeah. and you like it, and you had such a great experience.
Yeah.
I know that I won't have that. I'll probably enjoy it,
yeah.
but I'll be like, eh, that was fun.
Well, you should go see Detective Pikachu.
I do want to see that.
I'm going tomorrow night because my friend has a, I think he's about the same age as Lucy, 9-year-old son. He loves Pokemon,
yeah.
but he wants to watch it first to make sure it's appropriate. So Lucy has said that if he thinks it's appropriate for his son, I mean, of course, I'm bringing Lucy to see Aquaman. None of that bothers me. Like, I'll take her to see anything, you know, as long as it's... Honestly, like, for me, if the sexual innuendo and the sexual material is at a minimum or not existent, I don't mind the comic book violence and I don't mind minimal violence.
But also, like,
movies.
I think your minimal and non-existent is leaps and bounds above everybody else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I took her to see Aquaman. There was actually... almost no sexual content. It was mostly comic book action and violence.
Yeah.
She can handle that.
You know they're making an animated comic book version or a comic version of Caligula?
Are they really?
Nope.
I would take her to see it if it was rated PG-13.
I don't know what
you
they
could
did.
Never do that.
Now,
So she wants to see Detective Pikachu regardless, but she really wants to go with my buddy and his son if he thinks it's appropriate.
You're
going
to see it twice?
I'll see it twice.
Nice. I do want to see that. That looks funny.
So I'm a huge Pokemon guy.
But I'll
say
movie-wise, what I did go to see with my cousin a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We went to Cinemagic nearby and on their, they do their, every Thursday, once a month, they do...
the callback.
Cult classic.
Yes, the cult classics. Yeah, yeah.
We went and saw the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990.
Oh, you did end up going.
It was great.
Did it transition? Did it go well on the big screen? Because that was one of the first movies I ever saw.
It's
in
dark.
Theaters.
Like, even okay, you watch the DVD and you're like, that's like someone. It was shot on film,
yeah.
and then someone projected it and videotaped it to get it on DVD. That's what it looks like. It looks just granular. Like,
oh, I remember it being in 89. I remember how grainy that, or
yeah,
90. I remember
know,
how grainy,
like,
it looked back then.
I don't
then.
Get it. I don't know what they did. There's something like so low budget about it.
Yeah, but I think that's part of the charm. I adore that movie.
Oh, it's so
it's
much
one
fun.
Of my all-time favorites.
I mean, it's very, it's dark, like visibly dark. Like,
right.
It's, you know, very muddy.
Yeah.
But there's a lot, it's pretty moving. But like, if you could surpass... Like
the fact that it's guys talking turtles.
Yeah, exactly. And all that stuff and the absurdity.
There are
of it.
Some really highly emotional moments. Like the one right. I remember specifically is when Raphael is in the tub.
Yeah.
And Leo is just like,
I know. And like the piano music's playing.
Yeah.
And then April draws that photo, that picture, like,
oh my
god, yes. drawing
the,
whatever.
The pencil drawing
and
of,
he's there
of
and
Leo.
He's like,
yeah.
It's like, oh man.
Great, great movie.
Hey.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
To get something to eat around here.
Ralph! Oh, he's awake!
I loved it.
I just, oh yeah, that's a classic.
It
oh,
was,
I'm happy you saw that.
It brought back a lot of memories, but then even seeing it on a big screen, you're like, it looks kind of goofy, but also it doesn't, because it's all part of that world. You're
yeah.
like, all right.
Yeah.
You can roll with it. It's fun.
I saw Aliens back in theaters a couple years ago, and I remember thinking the same thing. The movie looks good, but again... It's just part of that like world that you can never really replicate yeah. the way that they shot that film.
Yeah, what's coming up, though, we probably talked about this the last episode, but that was so long ago, I don't remember. Yeah, Jaws is coming up, too. They're doing it in June.
I might see that. I think I might want
to
see
okay,
that.
Okay, I just have to say, this was the best, not the best part of the whole night, but okay, this two-minute window of that night that I went to see Ninja Turtles was as much fun as watching all of Ninja Turtles, okay?
Okay.
They were showing previews for other upcoming cult classics that they're going to be playing.
Yeah.
They will be playing at some point in the near future Monty Python's The Meaning of Life.
Oh my god, can we please go see that?
Guess what scene they showed for everybody in front of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie? Guess what
was
scene?
Was it the organ donor?
Nope. Nope. It was the Mr. Creosote scene puking over everything. And it was amazing because the audience is full of children and parents.
And Mr. Creosote is like,
it was great. And there's a guy a couple of seats down. It's like, oh, why are they showing this? I'm losing my appetite. He was like eating popcorn. People were getting sick. I'm like, yes, This is amazing.
When we find out that's coming to theaters, we have to see it together.
I have to look it up.
I would love seeing that in theaters soon.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Monty Python.
Oh, it's brilliant.
And, I could have. I was thinking it was going to be the organ donor, but I don't.
Can we have your liver?
Can we
then?
Have your liver then? All right, you talk me into it.
You talked me into it. Oh, it's
kind of makes you feel insignificant, doesn't it? We have your liver then.
Eric Idle comes out of a fridge.
So good, so good. Yeah, so Detective Pikachu, I think I want to go see. I would love you to see Endgame soon.
I know.
I really would. I know I keep repeating myself,
you
but that's
did.
Okay.
You did.
But, Greg, I'm really happy to be back. I think that this new schedule is going to be a win for everybody.
It's just going
to
be weird.
It's going to be weird to go bi-weekly. And, again, it will be temporary. I'm thinking probably by fall we'll shoot back to once a week.
Give us at least through September.
Yes. I'm also thinking to myself about guest stars and how much I loved having Bill on the show. Bill, I'm going to open up this invitation for you, and I think it would be very appropriate for us if we just had you back for every season premiere. So if you're willing and you're able to do it, Bill, we'd love to have you back for the season 3 premiere. I know it's a couple of weeks, it's a while away, but I was just thinking about it. I think it'd be fun to have Bill come back for every season opener.
Dave called you a star.
So, Bill, if you're interested in coming back onto the show, we had a blast having you on.
Welcome back.
I don't know why I was thinking about that, but I also, not to sound weird, but I thought about Bill a lot during this episode.
Okay.
Based on his podcast.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it. We'll get into it in a few minutes, Greg. But what do you think? Are you ready to talk about the next episode? It seems like forever.
I am so, so full of things to pour out of my face.
All right, gentlemen and ladies, let's get into it. It's season 2, episode 9, Soul Survivor.
Listen to me. Listen to my voice.
Really enjoying this
bottle of seltzer. You wanna get Kit for me?
What?
You wanna give up your car?
I can't
give it up. Give it up to me.
I just feel like all the energies are leaving my body.
Whoa, that was weird.
Oh, dear sweet heavens. Okay, so so we're going to have to look forward to that for a little while. I don't know what happened. I blanked out for a few minutes, but...
Do you remember anything?
No, but... yeah, wicked cotton mouth.
You don't remember what I was saying?
I have no idea what you were talking about.
I wasn't saying anything.
Oh, that was weird.
I just expect results.
Whatever that means.
You can do that for me, right?
Yeah, no, I'd absolutely.
You promised me.
No, I'll do that. I'll follow through.
Great.
Absolutely, Greg. Should we get into the episode?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. So we open on Michael playing Pac-Man while Kit complains about the differences between computers and video games. Because Michael was like, Kit, shouldn't you be happy? I'm playing on the computer.
Yeah, and Kit's like, Michael, video games are not what playing on the, you know, he's just telling Michael he's an idiot.
Right.
You're not, you know, just because you're playing video games doesn't make you clever.
No, absolutely not. I did appreciate it, though, and my first thought was, oh, I bet Bill's going to appreciate this, because anytime Michael plays a video game, it made me really happy.
Was the audio of the game actually Pac-Man?
No.
No, I was like, no. I didn't recognize what it was.
I'm guessing it was either a rights issue or something, but it was definitely not the audio for Pac-Man.
No.
Unless, Bill, let us know if that's like an original version of the show, like if that's an original... I don't know.
Who knows?
But anyway, let us know. So
nobody knows the answer. No one knows that answer ever at all, period.
So as they're playing video games, Michael comes upon a woman and her car is broken down.
He always does this.
He always does this. Now this woman has the biggest teeth I've ever seen.
I know. Oh my God.
The mouthiest smile I've ever seen.
Oh, help. Help.
Over enunciating, right?
Help. Help.
Yes.
Help.
It's like the ADR just went and looped that same help.
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 Oh, help. Help.
Oh,
it's,
my
the help 9000.
It's the help 9000. This woman is unnamed. at the moment. We don't know who she is, but Michael is like, oh, I'll help you take care of this. So he like leans over under the hood.
I just have to say this.
Please say it.
Yes. He should know better.
Sure,
anyway.
Sure.
But she's like, help. What? Oh, what's the problem? It won't run. That's like, she's like, it won't run, pouts. And he's like, oh, well, that's interesting. And then, like, right where you picked up, like, he's just, like, poking around. Oh.
Oh, here it is.
Your distributor cap was loose. She's like, oh.
Start up. You know, she starts it up, no problem. And then almost immediately after the car starts, she gets out and goes, well, I'd love to offer you a drink back at my place.
He's like, meh.
Oh, come on. Please, just do it. He goes, because it's just down the road, but I don't know what's going to, my car could break down at any moment.
And you won't be there.
And, yeah. And she's. Well, then we cut to the house, don't we?
Yeah, he's like, ah, all right. And the next scene is like they're having cocktails at her house.
They're having, yeah. And he's like, he's just drinking it, and he's like, really, he's like slinking around. And she's got this like state-of-the-art stereo system in the house, and she's like, "Would you do you mind if I put on a little bit of music?"
He's like, "No, go right ahead. That's totally fine."
Please go right ahead. And so she starts playing the music, and Michael is like. You don't really notice it at first, but what happens is as the music starts playing, we cut to the outside, and there's this guy in a delivery truck, and he pulls outside and he starts like checking out Kit, and he's like trying to figure out what's going on. And then we cut back in, and Michael's starting to get really woozy, and the woman's talking in like hushed, deep tones.
But you start like she quietly puts earplugs in her ears,
yeah,
as the reel to reel's playing this music on these really nice speakers that are on the wall.
And he's standing right between the speakers.
And Michael's like got a like champagne in his hand, and he's like, huh. Starts getting woozy.
Yeah.
This guy in the truck comes inside. Michael's like passed out, starting to fall apart on the couch.
He gets like this blurry outline of this guy walking through the door. And
she looks up. She's like signals him to go away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, ah, Michael.
We just like see the eyes close, and that's what we just see the... Yeah, we just see that cut out. Yeah, it's absolutely insane. So we don't see Michael again for a few minutes here. So we see this guy. He goes back into his car and very, very, very quickly succeeds in overriding Kit to be able to manually control him with an Atari controller, no less.
I know, and he's like...
yeah,
I'm just really mad because, yeah... It's apparently incredibly easy to hack into Kit.
Seriously, but he can't override the computer.
Right.
The CPU, like his actual mainframe.
Which is interesting. So this guy hacks in to get control of the car. So he gets control of being able to open the doors, open the hood, put Kit into gear, move him back and forth.
Right.
That sort of thing. But he still can't get into the Knight Industries, like, brain. The super CPU or
right.
whatever. Which is interesting that none of that's, like, protected. He just hacks right into it.
Yeah, he just gets right into it. And I think at this point, the woman comes out.
You know, I'm sorry. I wonder if somewhere on Kit is, like, the FCC guidelines, like, must accept harmful interference and cannot create harmful interference.
Well, and he's fighting with the guy. Is he fighting with the guy at this point?
Kit's like, oh, you can't do this.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like, why are you hitting yourself? Kit's like, oh, stop it.
Yeah, Kit's like,
oh,
you can't do this.
You can't go any further. Stop it.
And he's like hitting keyboards, and Kit's like, oh, shit, this is where. No, you can't do this. What do you mean I can't do it? And he's
right.
He's just like wailing away on a keyboard.
Oh, man. I was Knight Industries, man. You lost some points there.
Seriously. So the woman at this point has come out and basically tells, this guy's name is Randy, basically tells him, ditch the CPU. Mm-hmm. We just need the car.
Right. They just want the car. He's like, I can't hack into the CPU right now. She's like, don't worry about it. It's too, we don't need it. We just need the vehicle.
Right.
So that's kind of where that scene ends.
And then we cut to Michael. We don't see him leaving the house, but we just see him like stumble out of the woods onto the side of the road.
Which is any other Tuesday for Michael.
Of course it is. Absolutely. And he's just, we don't know how long it took him to get back to the foundation.
Yeah, what if he's, the one thing that they probably don't talk about is that Michael's been gone for like 15 days.
Right. And so we cut back to April and Devin, and they're just giving him shit for losing Kit. They're like,
you lost Kit again?
How could you do that? What are you talking about? What do you mean you did that?
And like, but also, it's like, Michael, you just shouldn't stop for anybody on the side of the road because you know people want your car.
Right, exactly.
It happened to Devin.
I know, with the Pennington.
I was going to say the Blastmobile.
I like that one.
Why did you remember the name?
I don't. This is the thing about this show. So, just can I go off on a side tangent for a minute?
Of course, yes, please.
So, this is the thing about this show, as opposed to MacGyver. I could literally tell you almost any moment in the 141 episodes of that show we did, but I only remember the most asinine parts of the show so far. In how many episodes? 30 episodes.
Yeah.
So I remember the name of that car. I couldn't tell you what happened in the last episode. I just remember the Pennington. I don't remember what the hell happened. I remember a cat burglar somewhere in the season two.
Oh, right. Kit the cat, right?
Right. I could literally tell you every time Murdoch shows up. I can tell you every time Booker shows up. I could talk about the Colombian necktie.
Booker. Why'd you have to bring that up?
I'm sorry. I just ruined everyone's day.
What a downer, David.
Anyway, so Mike.
David Downer.
So Michael's like, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do anything. He was like, the music, her voice, it drained my energy. I don't know what to tell. I don't know what happened. I can't explain it. And Devin's like, well, the chances of an override on Kit are infinitesimal, but it does exist.
It does exist.
Because, of course, it does.
Yeah, because Michael's like, how easy would it be to hack into Kit, like his brain?
Right.
And he's like, infinitesimal, but.
Yeah, it's like, damn it. It's coming.
Damn it, Devin.
It's coming. Did you notice that Devin, his hair was darker?
No, was it?
I feel like he dyed his hair. His hair was significantly darker in this episode than it was in any other episode.
Okay, do you think we can really read into this? Do you think that it was just costuming or Edward Mulhare that, you know, he dyed his hair?
Yeah.
Or.
I like your or already.
Did Devin Miles dye his hair because he's starting to feel the tinge of aging?
He's starting to feel the brush of Father Death.
Oh my God. What is you with death tonight? The brush of Father Death.
It's not a thing. It's Father Time.
The
brush
exactly.
of Father Time.
No, you don't know what's happening. But, I mean, Devin survived two German prison camps during the war.
That's true.
He was a strapping young lad. And now he is reaching the autumn years, and he's starting to feel his time is running out, so he must use...
He still looks good, though.
Just for Men.
You think it's Just for Men? He's not losing his hair. He's just going gray.
No, I think it's shoe polish. What do you think Devin smells like? Do you think he smells like shoe polish?
I think...
Oak?
Do you think Devin is a smoker? Do you think he's a pipe smoker, cigar smoker, or do you think he's just more of a whiskey man?
I think Devin would light up a cigar.
I think Devin would smell like whatever an old man's cologne would smell like. I think he just wears... Like, Kristen's grandfather used to collect, like, vintage colognes.
Yes.
In various bottles. Like, he has a couple bottles actually shaped like old presidents.
We have talked about this before.
Have we really?
In MacGyver, related to Piedra, I think.
Oh my gosh.
In season one. Like 4 years ago.
Wow, you might be right.
What did he smell like? And we came up with some kind of weird cologne.
It smells like, I bet that it was, and it's a super strong cologne. I bet Devin has a very varied selection of colognes, like Sex Panther.
You know what? I think Devin smells like an old baseball. Have you ever found like an old baseball in a closet? It's kind of tattered.
Yeah.
It's probably like from 1950. That's
tattered and leathery.
Like. Yeah, that's what he smells like.
Here's one of my first absolute favorite character moments for Michael Knight in the series so far. So Devin and Michael go back to the house.
I know. Do you think you can remember what the house looked like? A house somewhere. The only thing that he knew was on the water.
Right. So we don't actually see him leave the house. So we assume that Michael was smart enough to at least look at the address, kind of look at the surroundings and have a general idea of where to go. Because if he walked back to the foundation, he could probably retrace the steps while driving.
Oh, you think he actually walked all the way back to the foundation?
We never see him get back
there. He wasn't like picked up on the side of the road, had a tryst somewhere in the woods.
Well, I mean, yeah, he probably did. He probably did the hitchhiker thing.
Yeah.
A woman pulled over, he did his thing in the woods, but then just kept walking and didn't accept the ride.
I didn't want a ride. I just wanted to see if I could hook up.
Thank you. I'll see you later.
Wow, that is weird.
So they get back to the house, And shockingly, the house is completely gutted.
Yeah.
There's no one in there. There's nothing in there. And Michael's convinced. He's like, well, the stereo was over here. There's everything. There was nothing in this house anymore. I don't know what to do. And so he and Devin start to leave the house. And Michael goes, wait. I'm sensing something coming from the garage.
I'm sensing something.
And so they get up like a point of view shot from Michael, uh-huh. like him walking towards the garage. And he's like, get the hands out. And he's like, there's something in this garage. And he's looking around. And he goes into a box in the foreground. And he like moves a box. And you see this big red glow come out of the box. And he lifts it up. And it's Kit's mainframe. And I'm like, that is an amazing character moment. Like that just proves that there's an ethereal connection
yeah.
between Michael and Kit, because Michael literally sensed that Kit was near.
Like something in his neural net.
Yes.
I'm still going with the
Skynet?
The key fob suppository.
I mean, maybe that he was just up. That's how he uploads all the information. And he's been slowly just like uploading some sort of synapses
through osmosis. Michael. Going from high density to
equilibrium.
Do you think
we can ever get Hasselhoff on the show?
Should
I direct message him on Instagram?
David, the chances are infinitesimal.
But there is a risk.
Yeah, why not? We should.
I'm going to direct message him.
Hey, like, hey, David.
Mr. Hasselhoff, we have a lot of fun on this show. I think you need to be a part of it with us. I'm going to message him this week.
Okay.
I'm going to message him on Instagram. So according to April, because this is all she's good for in this episode, she's like, well, Kit's clearly been completely cannibalized.
Yeah,
everything that makes Kit is completely gone, and that car is nothing more than a shell.
Yeah, and this is the first time we realize that Kit is not the car. I mean, we really see it for the first time that the spirit of Kit,
Kit's consciousness,
can be removed from the car.
Right.
And clearly put anywhere else.
Absolutely. So we're going to have kind of two different. So from this point forward, we're going to have two different versions. We're going to have Porta Kit. And then we're going to have non-Kit.
Shit, this all fits, Dave. Remember?
Porta-Kit, shit, this
all
fits.
The Porta-Hal?
Oh my god, the Porta-Hal!
The Porta-Hal!
How did I not... Wow, that was... Oh my gosh, yeah.
What if Porta-Hal... Well, we'll get to Porta-Kit in a little bit.
Yeah. He comes up in a minute here.
Yeah.
So Kit is still functioning and somehow is able to sketch the two people from earlier in the episode because of Michael's description.
But we have to talk about Kit for a second. So
yeah.
Bonnie has Kit. She's like, Michael, just so you know, he's had a very hard time. The guys in the clean room say he's ready to go.
Right.
The funny part about all of this is that Michael and Devin and Bonnie have to find Kit.
Right.
But clearly, the Knight Foundation has hundreds of people working for them.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're going to assume that maybe they're mulling around the background. But anyway... They're Edward mulling around in the background.
It's going to be a lot of those tonight.
Oh, God. But I just think it's funny that they have these huge manpower resources that they don't
absolutely.
Use. Absolutely. But yeah, so Bonnie wheels out like the. It looks like a little gurney.
Yeah.
It's like when Mike. When
it's like
Michael
a, it's
Knight
like a
was
bellboy.
Born.
It's like the room service table that they.
It's like when Michael Long died and Michael Knight was born. They wheel out this little gurney.
Yeah.
And Michael's like all scared. And then Bonnie lifts up the blanket because it's completely covered. And there is a portable television set.
Yeah, you just said Bonnie, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, damn. I did say Bonnie. Oh, it is April.
That's
damn.
All right.
Wow.
It's April, but that's okay.
Damn.
Yeah. And so you said, like you said, so continue. It's a She lifts it up and there's a portable television.
And Michael kind of smiles a little bit. And Bonnie's like, be careful. You know, he's sensitive.
He's super sensitive. Oh, he is bullshit.
Yeah. And Kit's like, hello. You know, Michael's like, how are you doing? He's like, how do you think I'm doing?
I've been reduced to this, Michael?
I know.
This?
I know, which is hilarious. And Bonnie, God, April says, you know, it's the only thing that we could find. You know, he was pulled apart pretty bad. It's the only thing that we could find.
What do you mean? You're a multi-billion dollar industry and you're gonna put his consciousness into a TV?
Well, that's the thing. Like, they couldn't have put him in something. Like, they decided to retrofit a portable television set.
Put him in another car. I mean, is the Trans Am like the only? No, because Car was another version.
Car's gone.
Do they only have two prototypes?
Maybe there's another prototype.
I mean,
yeah.
I just think it's funny, but it lends to it again because of this. It lends to a lot of other really nice moments that further that relationship that we see a lot more of in this episode, which I thought was really nice. So Michael describes the two people, somehow is able to perfectly describe Randy based on the blurry outline he saw before he passed out.
Yeah.
Kit, like, pulls up the picture on the screen, and he's like, oh, my God, those are them.
That's them.
Who they are. That's who they are.
Unreal.
The kid's name is Randy, and apparently he's a computer genius. He's won, like, all these awards at a computer convention.
And it just so happens that April recognized, you know, I think I saw that face before. Then I looked around, and she found
it. She pulls up the paper.
Yeah, she pulls out a magazine about some whiz kids that were doing some computer, like, conferences and stuff, and he won all these awards. She's like, that's him. Michael's like, yeah, it's a dead ringer. That must be him.
Right.
Yep, no shit. That was easy.
It was, yeah. Again, you know, just a little too plot convenient, but that's okay.
I was digging through rolls and rolls of microfiche in the library, and I found this gritty old photo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all right, Michael. Like, we do the montage of April just, like, turning the knobs on the microfiche.
Like, late nights, like, coffee, you know.
36 hours later.
Yeah. Yeah. She comes in with, like.
She comes in, she's like, I couldn't find anything.
I couldn't find anything.
So Michael and Kit decide to go take a little visit to Randy's mom.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Now, this was another moment. They have this really nice moment where Michael and Kit kind of discuss how they need each other and how they're, and Michael's like, we're always going to be pals,
yeah,
regardless of where you are or where you're.
Michael's driving a Mercedes.
He's driving Devin's car.
Is it Devin's car?
I think it's Devin's car.
He does not treat it well. He drives that thing like he stole it.
Of course he does.
But, and the, Michael said something really interesting. He's like, you know what, Kit? You know, we can't turbo boost. We can't do 200 miles an hour. But he's like, that doesn't matter because that's not who you are. Like, he's like,
right,
you are not that car. And it's really interesting because for the longest time, Kit has become that car, like that personality.
Yeah.
But this is the first time, like, you see Kit, like, helpless, I guess.
He
can't do anything.
There's not that's exactly it. He literally can't do a thing. There's
right.
nothing he can do to help Michael.
I thought he would at least interface with the Mercedes somewhat.
Right.
But doesn't.
But nope, he can't do that either.
It probably runs off vacuum tubes and bird shit. Because that makes sense.
Of course it does. Of course it does. So, according to Randy's mom, she hasn't seen Randy in about a month. And Michael's like, well, I actually do remember when I last saw him, he was with a woman. And so Randy's mom describes the woman. Michael's like, oh, yeah, no, that's her. This woman's name is Adrian.
Oh, we did jump over a bit that Michael saw Randy and Adrian at some point from a distance.
When?
From a distance.
I thought
we are instruments.
When the hell did he see them?
You like that?
Yeah, I did.
I don't remember, but I watched it this morning.
I know. I don't remember it. I watched it yesterday. Anyway, so Adrian started, like, filling Randy's head with ideas for, like, building this, like, multi-million dollar computer, and, like, Randy just became overly obsessed with it and just stopped coming home. He stopped communicating with his mother. The mother tried to cut off communication between Randy and Adrian. He flipped out and just took off and hasn't been back. Randy got really, like, obsessive about computers, and his mother was worried that he was burying himself in his work. So they bring him back into his room. It's literally just like this barren room. There's a bed in the corner with one computer over on the other side of the room.
And Mike is like, oh, that's interesting. There's nothing in here.
Right. And I love this, but the mother was just like, well, I just thought for somebody as lonely as he was, getting a computer would help him talk about stuff with me. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, what a moron.
And he just, geez, Dave, this is like when, you know, the interwebs was just starting to become a thing a little bit, you know, not super, super fantastic. And Randy was just really involved and he got completely absorbed and uploaded his personality into the mainframe. And now he doesn't exist. He's just a shell of a human.
He sure is.
That is not at all what happened.
Except when we cut back to him and he is desperately trying to control Kit with the joystick.
Did you see how badly he was? He's like,
he's just like, and Kit's just like driving, like flopping back and forth
and
all
Adrian's
over the road.
Like drinking her champagne in the back of some limousine, like out in the desert. And,
with some guy who we never get named.
No, just like the nameless chauffeur.
Yeah.
That's just there, like her lackey.
Yeah.
And she's just shipping champagne.
Shipping champagne. Okay.
Damn. And Randy's trying to control Kit, but not doing very well. He's all over the place. And basically, like, she's like, you said you could control him. You can't. Do we need you need to get the mainframe.
Right.
He's like, you told me to throw it out.
Right. She's like, oh, we never should have gotten rid of that Night Industry CPU.
Yeah. It's like, well, you're an idiot.
Are you kidding me?
He's like, I can do this. I can fix this.
Right.
Just give me the time. This kid's like, he's very confident in himself, but he's starting to get a little freaked out about what they're doing.
Exactly.
Something that does pertain to the plot that we sort of skipped over, when Adrian was sort of brainwashing Michael in the beginning with the music.
Yeah.
Just before that, she mentioned something about her being an art dealer or an art collector.
Oh, yes.
Which comes into play later.
That comes into play later. Absolutely. So, driving away from Randy and his mom's house, Michael gets very worried that Randy's being so isolated, and he gets a light bulb and he goes, "Ah, shit! Randy's whole world was inside that computer!" Slams on the brakes and turns around and heads back, and I'm like, why are you just now realizing that the only thing this boy had in his room was a computer, and you didn't think to turn that computer on?
But I also love how, you know, Michael drives the same way regardless if he's inside the Knight Industries 2000 car or not.
Right.
Because he just takes Devin's Mercedes and floors it and, like, spins around, like, in the middle of the road to reverse directions.
Yep. He's totally botching and ruining Devin's car.
Yeah, just burning out the transmission, wrecking everything,
Absolutely. Ruining
the tires. But, yeah, basically he goes back and brings Portakit in.
Yeah.
And taps Kit. Kit taps. There's tapping done.
There's So he is good for something.
Yeah, Kit. That's the thing. I'm like, yeah, just plug Kit into the computer.
Right.
Into Randy's computer. So Kit just starts digging through. Michael, you know, a computer's a personal thing.
Absolutely.
And he's like, yeah, whatever. Well, we got to find what's going on here.
Yeah. So he comes across a program called Orpheus.
Yeah.
And as they're kind of digging into that,
after Kit comments that Randy's homework is 3 weeks late.
Yes, exactly. And Kit's like, Michael, there's a call coming into this computer.
What?
From another computer. And Michael's like, oh, well, it's got to be Randy, Kit. Trace it. So Kit can still trace calls.
That's great.
And so Michael heads out to find him.
It's coming from a mobile.
It is coming from a mobile. So we're going to refer to the shell of Kit as pseudo Kit.
Okay. It's a pseudo Kit.
It's pseudo Kit because it's not really Kit.
Okay.
Get it. Pseudo means false.
I understand it.
Okay. So Michael starts driving towards where Kit had traced the call, and we see pseudo Kit coming from afar, basically playing a little bit of chicken with Michael. Mm-hmm. Pseudo Kit turbo boosts over Michael, and Michael's like, wow, I really didn't like being on the other end of that. Like, really upset that the fact that he had to be on the receiving end of watching Kit turbo boost over somebody else.
Exactly. And Kit's like, how does that feel? Did it look like me? And Michael's like, well, sure, yeah, it looked like you, definitely, but it's not you.
Right.
That's not you.
That's definitely not you, buddy.
That was weird.
It was a very bizarre. I just like this what if scenario. Like, what does Michael do if Kit is really if he doesn't have the resources that he's normally used to? And I thought this was a nice episode around
it. You
know,
it's so fascinating to see this with the technology and talking about Kit as an artificial intelligence who is now portable.
Right.
And is not that big. Is really maybe the size of a briefcase.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And is all powerful.
He is.
You know, I have to say, though, like the Knight Industries CPU that Michael pulled out of that trash can was maybe the size of, like, a
alarm clock?
An alarm clock. That's a great description.
Yeah.
An alarm clock.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about he's now like the size of a suitcase.
Yeah.
Because all of that is battery.
That's, oh, absolutely.
That's it.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
It has to be. Yeah. And so it's like 30 pounds of battery to 1 pound of CPU.
Right. Absolutely. So Michael finds Adrian in a field, as she is. He demands the car back, and Adrian's like, well, I want the CPU. And Michael's like, no, I'm not going to give you the CPU. And Adrian says, give me the CPU for 24 hours. It's all I need it for, and I promise I'm going to give it back. And Michael refuses, and then Adrian's like, well, I've got my ways, and you're going to give me the computer, or I'm going to have Randy killed if you don't comply.
Which is actually really interesting, like, hearing her say that. Like, I wouldn't trust her, but she honestly would probably just leave the car behind. She's not really after the car.
No.
We're getting to why she needs all this stuff.
Exactly.
But she needs Randy for a specific purpose, which he's doing. She needs the car for a specific purpose. But once that's done, like, really doesn't need it.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Right, exactly. So Michael starts kind of trying to figure out who Adrian is. No one really recognizes this person. No one knows who she is specifically. They know that whatever this Orpheus is, it's going to happen in about 24 hours.
Yep.
So Michael calls Randy's mom, and mom's like, Randy's been lying about this woman for a very long time. He kept saying he was going to these other places, but he was actually visiting Adrian, staying all day in her hotel suite.
Mm.
Michael goes to the hotel and starts talking to the hotel clerk, and he's like, "Sir, I'm sorry, but confidentiality, I can't tell you who this is."
It was the Blackwell Hotel.
Was that what it was?
I only remember it because it rhymes.
The Blackwell Hotel. I missed the name of it. So Michael's like, "Okay, I understand that you can't tell me, but what about... if you show me now, if she looks familiar," and he like slips a $100 bill out from under the picture of Adrian.
Yeah, it's like, "Do you know who this is?" And the guy's like,
And he goes very quickly. He's like, "Yep, actually, she never registered at the hotel. She's been staying in George Atherton's room."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Wait, the George Atherton?
George Atherton?"
Now, I didn't remember if he was ever referenced, and I had to wait until the end of the episode, but I'll tell everyone now. George Atherton was apparently on the board of directors at the foundation.
Right. I didn't recognize the name either.
Okay, good. It wasn't just me.
But I don't remember stuff about the show I watched 12 hours ago.
That's also true. So it's very possible that we could have heard Atherton's name.
Totally.
But anyway, so Atherton is the board of directors. He was formerly board of director at the foundation, and Adrian has been staying in his permanent suite. We assume she's been sort of trying to filter information out of him about the Knight Industries and what the car is all about and all of that.
Well, Michael goes to Atherton's office and confronts him directly. He's like,
"Oh, absolutely."
Because he knows who that is. He goes straight there, kind of grills him. He's like, you know, "Look, all this stuff's happening. Everything leads to this Adrian woman, which leaves a whole pile of garbage right on your front step." And it was a great speech. He's like, "Hey,
oh,
man,
yeah.
I'm not saying you're involved in this, but everything is at your front door. You've got to figure this out. Who is this lady?"
Right.
And basically, yeah, he said, "We were more than friends.
We've known each other for about 5 years.
He's like, "But I've never spoken anything about Kit." And he's like, Mike wanted to know how how she knew about Kit and all this stuff. He's like, "Maybe there's some pillow talk. I don't know."
Right. He's like, "She may have seduced me."
Right. But maybe she used that music.
That's what I'm wondering. She probably did the same.
Which doesn't come into play again, ever.
No, we never see it again. I wish it did, but that's okay.
So let's assume that she used the music to get information about Kit from Atherton, which makes sense.
Fine, absolutely. So then Michael asks, like, "What do you know about this Orpheus?" And he tells him, he's like, "Well, Orpheus is actually, it's a Swiss account,"
mm-hmm,
"where all, like, she's storing all of this money." And it comes out that George actually has this very large, valuable collection of art that is worth about $14 million.
Yeah.
And Michael gets that light bulb. I'm like, "Oh, wait. Adrian said she was an art dealer. George has $14 million worth of art."
Yeah.
Girls on bread and... Sorry. Go ahead.
And because Atherton now says, he's like, because... this is all confusing. Michael asks Atherton, "Is it vulnerable? Like, what's going on?" He's like, "I'm moving it from Denver to Texas or whatever."
Wherever they were going,
it's traveling soon. Like, in a couple of days, it's traveling. All $14 million worth of art in a giant armored truck.
Right. It was an armored bus. So, like, a Goliath bus.
Yeah, Goliath bus.
Goliath bus.
Goliath bus. Motor armory? Motor monery?
That's the one.
Motor coach? Motor bus? Motor... Motor.
That's
my motor bus armory.
Motor glia bus.
My glia motor bus.
Yes.
Glia bus. Large bus.
Yes. Shall we move on?
Yep.
Okay. So Randy has assured Adrian he's going to have complete control over the car by tomorrow. But Randy's starting to have second thoughts about what's going on. He's like, kind of thinking that he doesn't really want to be involved with this.
What do you mean, buddy? You want to. You promised me this.
And I love this because Adrian kind of pulls out of Randy that Randy's a little bit jealous because Adrian's quote-unquote spending time with Michael.
Right. Nope. She saw him once.
See, I was like,
she has no interest in Michael.
You saw them. Like, and they were literally fighting the only time you saw them.
Right. They just don't... Michael... She doesn't give a crap about Michael.
Right.
But what... It was weird. Like, I didn't catch this actress's name. I didn't like this character.
Who,
but,
Adrian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like her.
And it wasn't like I didn't like her as an actress. I did not like Adrian. I'm like, God, I do not like
No, her. I didn't like the
Which
character.
Which was deliberate, of course. But, like, she was really... There's that scene. We're talking about the right scene right now where Adrian's talking to Randy.
Yeah.
Reconvincing him to keep doing it. And it was, like, it was captivating.
Absolutely.
Like, and
100%.
Different versions of that hypnotic music kept coming in throughout the episode, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was kind of creepy.
It was.
I was getting pulled in. I'm like, I don't like this character, but I'm getting sucked into this
scene. I got sucked in, and I don't know if it was because it's been 3 weeks since we've watched an episode and I was itching for it, but I was in for this episode like 100%.
Yeah.
So the idea now is that, so there's been a lot of talk between Devin and April and Michael about Kit's laser in the car and how it can basically be used to cut through almost anything.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. Like, well, that armored truck's impenetrable. And then Michael's like, yeah, but what about the laser and Kit? Oh.
Well, it would have to be absolutely precise, but it is possible.
Well,
yes.
The guts are still in there. I mean, the CPU's gone, but if Randy's as smart as we think he is, he can figure it out.
Right.
Okay. All right, then.
So Michael's like, talks to Porta Kit, and he's like, so what do we got to do? Let's go get this. Let's go find the truck. And so Porta Kit says, well, I found two potential cutoff points for them to heist the truck. And he names off one, he names off the other, and Michael's like, okay, well, which one is going to work better? And he's like, well, they're both about the same. And he goes, okay, well, how about that? Which one's closer? I think he asked.
He said something like, okay, Randy's into computers, and he'll take an advantage even if it's just a fraction better.
Right.
And that's how we told Kit to select which one. He's like, Randy's going to go by the stats. Like, this
right.
is the best place to do it, even if it's a tenth of a percent better.
Right.
Then the other one. That's where he'll go.
So they're going to head to Cutter's Crossing, which, now, did I hear it correctly? 90 miles away?
Yes, 90 miles
okay.
away.
Remember that, because there's probably the most implausible moment of the episode happens very shortly. So shortly after Michael is told it's 90 miles, he runs out of gas.
Yeah.
And Kit basically calls him out and says, oh, I'm sorry, you were supposed to check the gauge. And I guess it makes sense because Michael has never had to check the gas
gauge. No, we've only seen him fill up once or twice. And Michael's like, Kit, why didn't you tell me we were almost out of gas?
He's like, why didn't you look at the gas gauge?
Yeah, it was awesome. Kit's like, you're an idiot.
Seriously. So Michael starts trying to hitchhike and some, like, you know, this like dobe-ass farmer.
Was that the guy who played Gomer Pyle?
He looked like it, didn't he?
I
didn't look at the cast list, but I thought it was him.
Here we are, super prepared for this show.
So the guy pulls up in a like a lime green busted up Studebaker.
Oh my god, it was awesome. It looked like it had a jet engine in the middle of it.
And Michael's like, I will trade you this car for your car. But the problem is that my car's out of gas.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, I'll sweeten the deal. I'll give you the car with no gas and $68 from my wallet. And the guy gets out and he starts looking at the car and doing this. And he goes, oh, I like that little TV you got over there. I'll take the TV too. So $68, a TV in the car. And Michael's like, well, actually, the thing is I need the television. So you can't have the TV. But I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
If you take this trade right now, I will send you a little TV when you're back home.
Yeah.
And the next thing we see is Michael getting in the Studebaker, and the sound editing is awesome because all you hear is
Jim Neighbors. Like, was it Jim Neighbors?
Yes, it was.
Was it actually him?
Is that the actor in the?
That's Gomer Pyle.
Jim Neighbors was the actor in Andy Griffith
yeah,
show?
Yeah, the character Gomer Pyle.
Gomer Pyle, yeah.
Yeah, that then had his own TV show.
Are you
Gomer
looking
Pyle.
It up in the show now, Soul Survivor?
And then the Jim Neighbors Hour.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm just looking up Jim Neighbors.
Oh, okay. So the bus, so we cut back to Randy and Adrian waiting for the bus. The bus is 2.5 minutes away from Randy and Adrian. Randy overrides the CPU to gain complete control of Pseudo Kit.
Yeah.
Okay. They override the bus too, apparently, and make it break down in front of them.
It was him, Jim Neighbors, 1983, passerby/motorist, Soul Survivor, Knight Rider TV.
It was him. Okay, yeah. I thought of it. I was like, that looks like Gomer Pyle.
I know. It's gotta be him.
That's awesome. Actually, that makes me really happy that it was Jim Neighbors.
No. Let's say that it actually was the character of Gomer Pyle.
It was actually Gomer. Well, he kind of had the drawl.
Yeah.
Too, like the Gomer Pyle. Okay.
No, it's Gomer Pyle. Shows up in Knight Rider, uncredited.
Done. So apparently they override the bus too, the armored bus, which breaks down in front of Randy and Adrian.
Yeah. Great.
Randy has the car fire the laser into the side of the truck, opening it up and revealing the art. Now,
yes,
as they're hauling out the art, Adrian looks up and sees a Studebaker coming around the corner.
But you hear it way off in the distance, like, yes.
Bah, 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 bah. 90 miles in a shitty-ass Studebaker in 2.5 minutes.
It's amazing.
They really stretched that one out a little bit.
That was good, but she's like, there's a car coming here. Look in it. See who it is. And she's like, it's Michael Knight. I know it.
Where was the camera?
I don't know.
Because I love, she tells Randy to find out who it is, and we switch to a camera on the side of the road.
I know.
It just shows the Studebaker driving by.
It's Michael Knight. Oh, it's Michael Knight.
It was great to see Michael, like, he's like trying to get the car.
He's like hitching all over the place. It's probably a model before power steering, so the wheel's enormous. Like, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, it was great. I love it.
There's only an AM radio in there, and it probably doesn't work.
So they're starting to haul all of the art out. Adrian tells Randy, take the car, pseudo kit. I need you to kill Michael Knight.
That's simple. Great.
So somehow, as Michael sees pseudo kit coming towards him, Adrian's assistant basically holds Randy at gunpoint in the passenger side of pseudo kit.
Yeah.
Basically saying, if you don't do this, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
Somehow Kit gets enough juice and enough energy into pseudo kit to eject the gunman out of the passenger seat and save Randy.
So Randy just drives down the road, turns around, and pulls up alongside Michael in the Studebaker.
Yep. Yep.
And says, get on in. Michael immediately leaves the Studebaker. Then you hear in the background, Michael, don't forget me. And it's Kit. Michael forgot poor Kit.
He forgot little Kit.
I know.
It made me really sad.
But now I'm thinking of how cute it was. Like, Michael sitting in the passenger seat would pour a kit in his lap.
That was a sweet little moment. I do love that he didn't. Like, it would have been a Michael moment to be like, to tell Randy, like, move over. But yeah. I love that he was like, nope, I'm going to sit with that little buddy.
Yeah.
We're going to sit right next to each other.
Yeah.
Really anticlimactic. So they head back to Adrian. Michael knocks out Adrian's assistant, and then it kind of just...
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Adrian.
Well, we get one line at the next scene in the final act. Basically, he knocks out Adrian's assistant, and they're standing there, he and Randy, in front of Adrian. They have, like, the last laugh moment.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the end of the episode where they're like, well, they leave Randy's house, and they're like, all right, Randy, you're finally home. Adrian's going to prison.
Uh-huh.
Michael gives Randy the TV, now that Kit is back in his rightful body.
Right.
And he's like, well, just in case you ever want to get away from the computer, and he hands him the portable TV. I'm like,
that's weird.
That's a weird thing to give a kid, but okay, anyway.
giant portable TV.
And I love this moment because Michael clearly missed having Kit. So he's like, what do you say you and I play a little bit of hooky?
Michael, I don't know what this means, hooky?
And he's basically just like, hooky means we're going to go against all of the rules and do what we're not supposed to do.
Because Devin's calling and Michael's like, Kit, don't answer it. Let's play some hooky.
And they start like just turbo boosting everywhere completely recklessly.
Yeah. Kit's like, Michael, there's no justification to turbo boost. He's like, that's right, Kit. That's what hooky's all about. So Kit's like, have you ever seen these videos of farmers who have posted videos of when they let their cows out in the spring for the first time after the winter?
No.
They go nuts and love it. They're jumping and mooing and like kissing people and jumping around and frolicking.
Yeah.
That's like Kit.
That's exactly what it was. But I loved that moment. It was such a fun, like, Michael and Kit are back, and he's like, we're just gonna fuck around for a little while.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved this episode.
Was pretty damn good.
It was a really
fun... Oh my
fun...
God. I laughed out loud in such a good way in every single bit of it, from him being hypnotized to the random turbo boosting at the end to like port a kit in a television set. It was amazing.
It really was. It absolutely was.
I loved every second of this.
Yeah, I was here for it. I think, can we both agree that I think we're probably going to give it the same rating?
Yeah, but I've got my own route to get there.
Go for it.
I'm going to give it 11 turbo boosts.
11 turbo boosts.
To give it a rating of 5.5.
5.5? Okay.
Yep.
You're giving it a 5.5?
Yeah.
You're going over the 5?
I guess so. Okay. How about 10 turbo boosts?
10 turbo boosts. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 5. It's a 5 all the way through.
10 turbo boosts. So it was like basically you were playing hooky and you're just turbo boosting for fun.
Yeah, I'm just jumping for joy. I'm just like, yeah, turn bubble boost. Or I could do 11 or whatever. 10, doesn't matter. It broke the curve for me. This was fun.
This was a blast.
There was a lot of cerebral stuff with Kit in a box.
Absolutely.
That Michael, oh my God.
What?
Michael could bring Kit inside.
Yes, he could.
Michael could
snuggle up next to him in bed.
It could put Kit on the sink while he takes a dump.
Kit? Not a word. He just puts him down on the...
Michael, indeed. You don't have to bring me in. You don't have to bring me in here. Michael! Michael, stop it! Kit, play some Pachelbel's Canon.
Kit, play me the theme from 2001.
Bob. play me the Final Countdown.
Oh, I hope that song comes into this series somewhere.
Play David Hasselhoff's True Survivor from Kung Fury.
Play Whitebird.
White bird in a golden cage.
All right, I'm giving it 5. It was an awesome episode.
It was so much fun.
A highlight of season 2 for me.
Oh, David.
100%. You want to, we haven't done this in a while. You want to do some Who's More Likely?
I don't know. Did anyone answer the last one? Did you pay attention to anything?
I think I answered it.
I
think I did it.
Do we have any notes from listeners? Any ratings? I don't even remember what was going on.
I don't remember. I was just so excited about recording. I'll dig back through some comments and see if I can find some for next.
We are the best at this.
We are so good at this show. I love every second of it. Do you want to read yours first? Or you want me to read mine?
Okay. David.
Yes, Gregory.
Who is more likely to ask questions throughout the entire fucking movie? Portakit or Devin?
Ooh, we left Michael out of the mix on this one.
Yeah.
All right, Portakit or Devin?
I want to see Devin take Kit out one night and go to the movies together.
Just take him out because now they know they can transport his.
Right.
So I think again, this plays into the Devin being overly distinguished and just not wanting to disrespect anyone else in the theater. Mm-hmm. But I think Kit, because he's so curious, this is gonna be like an obvious answer. I think Kit is so curious that he's just gonna every second. So what year was this? I'm trying to think of
1983.
So I'm trying to think of what movies came out in 83 that Kit would actually.
Oh yeah, that's
movies
that's
released
good.
In 1983. Let's see the top movies of 83. Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Risky Business, Scarface, War Games, The Right Stuff.
The Right Stuff. My God, that's a good one. That's a long movie.
Flashdance, Twilight Zone, the movie.
God, what a year.
The Dead Zone.
I think Devin would take Kit.
Superman 3.
Oh boy. Clint Eastwood's Sudden Impact.
Octopussy.
Yeah. Monty Python's Life of Brian. Oh no, Meaning of Life.
Trading Places. Cujo.
Can you imagine Kit asking
Krull?
Oh my God, I have that. I have that on DVD and the soundtrack on vinyl.
Do you really?
I do.
So, Mr. Mom. Okay, so let's say Devin and Kit decide to go see Mr. Mom with Michael Keaton. And Michael and Kit's just like, Devin, I simply don't understand why a man would be wearing an apron like that. Just something, just completely ridiculous, asinine questions.
The man with two brains. I know, he'd be, I think Devin, though, would specifically take Kit to see War Games and immediately regret it.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I did it. Oh, son of a bitch. Oh, God. Okay.
Devin, do I have this much power? Can I really do this?
No. No.
I want to play thermonuclear war.
No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
So it's like now that Kit knows, like next time Michael's back inside the car, it's like, Michael, do you want to play a game? No, Kit.
Michael.
No,
no,
I don't.
Kit, stop it. Stop. I'm going to say Kit.
Okay.
Portakit, right?
Yeah, Portakit. I'm going to agree with you 100%. Portakit
okay.
would ask all the questions, and Devin would either have to cleverly dodge it or give him, like, one-word answers.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, Kit.
Yep.
Yep, I agree. All right, no, I think that's perfect.
Love it.
My question is...
I'm just going to also...
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm just going down the list. National Lampoon's Family Vacation came out that...
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that Kit would get jealous of the car?
The Queen Anne Family Truckster?
Yeah.
Yes. Why can't I look like that?
I know.
That car made a cross-country trip to
Wally
World.
He would demand wood paneling. Anywho, sorry for that.
All right. My question is, who's more likely to get trapped in a revolving door? Garth? Actually, no. Who I'm trying to think of another character. Garth or Garth or Michael? Garth or Michael? Who is more likely to get trapped?
I think Garth and Michael would both get simultaneously trapped
just on opposite
because
windows.
Of each other.
Yes, they just like Michael goes, Garth goes in, and Michael steps in behind on the other door,
yep.
And stops it.
And they both stop it, and then they refuse to let each other out.
Right,
and they both just sit down and fume at each other.
Garth's like, Michael, let the door go.
Shut up, Garth.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
I'm not letting the door go. Michael, let me out.
Kit just like drives to the revolving
door. I know, but I was going to say, I'm going to throw in a ringer and say Porta-Kit would get stuck in a revolving door. He's just sitting on the floor.
He'll get stuck in the third, on the third side.
Yeah.
And it's just 48 it's like, minutes of them trying to figure out how
to get out. Oh, okay.
It's like yeah. Phone booth, but way more boring.
Yeah, way more boring. Yeah, so yeah, Michael. Garth is trying to steal Porta-Kit from Michael, and he tries to grab it like a purse snatcher as Michael's going in. And somehow, Michael gets stuck in one leaf of the revolving door. Porta-Kit falls on the outside, and Garth is stuck in the other side. So Michael isn't letting Garth out. And Garth, I mean, is trying to get... That's it. That's how that works.
That's the answer.
Porta-Kit sitting there. Garth and Michael are stuck in the revolving door.
That's it. That's the answer. There's no right answer to that. It's Garth and Michael. Yep. Done. Absolutely.
I could go about talking about that for ages.
Oh, that was a good way to run back to roll back into who's more likely. Now, man. I'm going to have to remember to actually put the poll out on time. Although now we have 2 weeks to do it.
Oh, you're right.
So that's okay.
So now we can even be more lazy and have even worse reasons for not doing it next 2 weeks. Yeah.
Gosh. Greg, do you want to hear what's coming up next episode?
Oh my God, do I ever.
All right, next episode is season 2, episode 10, Ring of Fire.
I know what that's all about.
I do too. It's not, and it has nothing to do with the Sting Ring.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway, a tape recording alerts the Foundation to the plight of a young Cajun girl whose dangerous husband has escaped from a chain gang. Trying to protect her, Michael and Kit are trapped in the bayou when the car begins to malfunction.
Bayou Kit. That's what it's called?
No, it's called Ring of Fire.
Oh, but you just told me that.
Yes, it is. That's okay, Greg.
I like Bayou Kit better.
Something just happened to Michael, but that's weird.
Do you think that Kit's going to like all of a sudden start getting like a Cajun accent?
And just, I don't know how a Cajun accent goes, and I don't want to be weird.
Yeah, me either. But like, you know, like, and cook like all kinds of like crawfish, and he wants to learn like good cooking, make like great sausages and stuff. And all kinds of weird things like that.
Absolutely. All right, guys. So that's going to wrap it up for us this week. If you want to reach out to us on social media, we are very active on Twitter and Instagram. So you can find us on that at ChampaKline, Facebook.com/ChampaKline. You can email us at letusblowyourmind@gmail.com. You can call our hotline, 207-835-1954. You can also find all that information on our website, ChampaKline.com. That is CIAMPAKLEIN.com. Also, the best way for us to be seen and heard by other listeners is to leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Greg, do you have any closing thoughts before we say goodnight?
No, this was the best way to spend a Wednesday evening.
This was
Thank
absolutely
you.
The best way. All right, guys. So, for the Knight Rider years, I am Father Death.
I am Porta-Kit's colossal lead acid battery.
Have a fantastic week, everybody.
There you have it, loyal listener. A fine example of what can truly be done with podcasting. Hard work, consistent output, and just the right amount of guidance from an enigmatic network overlord. Tune in again next week to see what timeless gem I dust off for your listening pleasure. Seriously. I need to get someone into this archive room and do some cleaning. It's filthy.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following @Podfix on Twitter, official_Podfix on Instagram, @Podfix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.